So, good morning, everybody, from me and Justin. We are here. It's 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, and we have now racked up a nice bank of times that we've done this. And I was showing somebody just this week what we'd done, and actually, I think it was my brother. And I went to the video section and showed him how many that we've done, and I kind of shocked myself as well. So I'm amazed that we are up to this. It's really wonderful. And this week has been an amazing week. So I was with you from Findhorn in Scotland on last Sunday's one. And we then had the whole week in Findhorn learning about something called supervision, which actually I spoke on here a little while ago about with Nina and Amanda. And so we were learning more about what it is to be in support of people who are in supporting roles. And it was really extraordinary and wonderful. And Findhorn's just a beautiful place. So I'm feeling the effect it had on me was to be feeling even more kind of open-minded about what on earth is going on at all as a human being. So that's where I'm coming from today. And we're really glad to. Yeah, just as usual, glad to be here. And we're going to begin by reading, but I'm just checking if Justin maybe wants to say hello and good morning.
I do. I want to say hello and good morning to everyone. I'm really pleased to be here and doing this. And I think that's all I'm going to say for now. We'll get into this conversation and see where it goes.
Great. So we're going to read this thing called what to do when you're feeling completely stuck. And of course, with all these things, I think I'm writing them for me and everybody. And I remember writing this and feeling that stuckness was really annoying and had me go around in circles. And I always felt really. Yeah, like I'm in my body now, I can feel like really like, where do I move? I don't know where to go. So this is where that came from, that feeling of not knowing how to move forward or resolve something or understand it even. So here we go. What to do when you're feeling completely stuck? In all of our lives, there are times when we feel stuck, paralyzed, or unable to shift a pattern or move forward. You know when you're stuck because your thinking is circular and you convince yourself of how bad things are and there's no way out. You feel frustrated and even bored with the same old issue, person, circumstance, or pattern. You feel tension in your body, a compression of some kind that is nagging and underlying. You're unable to do anything to change this. It really does feel like you're stuck, physically immobilized around whatever it is that you're facing. I've discovered that being stuck is actually a huge invitation. You know there's something more, something in the future that you just can't get to, and there has to be something better than this stuck feeling of nothing moving, of not going anywhere. And that's because you're being invited deeper and not forward. Forward is not what's needed in this moment, but deepening, relaxing, and seeing what the stuckness wants from you can be a graceful and conscious way through whatever the gifts are, through to whatever the gifts are that await you. Being stuck when we attend to it fully and stop trying to change it or avoid it is a gift. A calling from inside to stop, go inwards, become intimate with this feeling, and consciously relax into it and see what it wants. You can even ask it some questions. Dear stuck feeling, what is it that you want to say to me? Which part of my body can I relax a little more so I can get closer to you and really see what you're trying to communicate to me? How are you trying to serve me now? What am I denying or avoiding that would have you feel heard and seen? See where you get to. See where this stuck feeling wants to say. Sorry, see what this stuck feeling wants to say. Treat it like a young child who is tugging on your skirt or trousers for some attention and cuddle. Look into that child's eyes and really truly ask what would help, what the child needs, how you can attend to them.
We thought I would read this too, Lizzie, but I'm thinking we should just talk because I'm really keen that we have some time to talk about this. It's beautiful. And I so recognize this feeling of that you write about that being stuck isn't just something that's in the world around us, even though that's often the way it looks. I often, first of all, think I'm stuck because of something that's happening outside. And of course, there are lots of ways of being stuck because something's happening outside. There's someone in my way, or I didn't have the resources to do what I want, whatever it is. But it's really moving to be reminded in what you're writing that so often what has us stuck, and has certainly has me stuck, is my relationship with a part of me that I'm not honoring or paying attention to. And I know it so much in this way that you described, which is the bodily feeling of being stuck. So
Justin, I've got to stop you for a sec. I think your microphone might be like snuffling against something. So when
am I crackling?
Yes.
One moment.
Okay.
This is the thing about being live, isn't it, that things happen. So you tell me if it's any different now. It was all tangled together, I think. The thing I was going to say was the bodily feeling of being stuck. So I've so noticed this, that when I'm walking around wherever I go with the feeling of stuckness, it's such a strong sign that what I'm wrestling with isn't just in the outside world, but is in me. And the easiest thing for me to do, I found out, if I'm not paying attention the way that you're talking about, is to want to banish the stuck part. Like, I want to have it go away. I want it to shut up. I want it to quieten down. I want it to leave me alone. I want it to free me. And nearly always, as you say, it has the quality of being a very young part. So I found out that I'm masterful at banishing the parts of me that are terrified of being banished, of terrifying the parts of me that are terrified of being terrified. And so often when I'm stuck, that's exactly the dynamic I'm in. It's a genuine part of me that wants to have a voice that I don't want to give a voice. This is why I'm stuck, because I'm in some kind of dynamic, and I'm pushing away and pushing away, and it's so painful. And that beautiful move, which I so often forget, and I often wonder what would it take to actually be able to remember it more often when it's called for, is to turn towards the part as if it were a tender child and say, I'm here. What do you need? Goodness, so many times something comes from that. Some way I've been holding on becomes apparent, or something I've been denying, or here's the one. Something that deep down I know is really called for that I've not wanted to allow, because it would point me in a different direction, or it would have me shift a relationship I'm in, or I might be worried that I would be ashamed about what other people would think if I did that or said that or went that way. That's so often what this kind of stuckness is, at least in my experience. So I'm grateful for you saying it this way, because it invites the possibility of two things. One is knowing ourselves as made up of many, many, many different parts, that there's not just ever one me, and it's a mistake to think that there is. And having kindness and attentiveness and welcome be the path here, rather than fight, abandonment, denial.
What's arising, Justin, as you're talking, is the there's discrepancy between the way that we might treat an innocent child and the way that we treat ourselves in this. You know that mostly if a child was in distress, you know, whether they were ours or somebody else's, there would be some curiosity. You know, how can I help you? What could we do to have this be okay? Like we would, and with us, it's like there's some kind of demand to be other than what we are. So as you say, like push these parts away or decide that there's something horribly wrong really quickly as well. And I know for me, when something's a returning thing, I guess it's a kind of one of the gifts of it, but also the pain of it, is that I'm just really sick of it as well. So I find myself being really sick of things and going like, how can I be doing the same thing again? And how do I not choose differently this time? It's like the road appears and I walk straight down it, and I walk down it with the same kind of determination that I've walked down it before, even though that I know the road isn't going to take me anywhere that leads to anything other than the same place it led to before. And I think that's the invitation of this to myself and us all, is to find a way of being disciplined about looking for the gift of what's being brought to me. You know, how come again? What's actually being, like, if I tune into something deeper, something more wise than my habitual self-talk, what's actually being asked of me, what's being brought to me by my deeper sense of life? And of course, there's a way that we can do this when we're alone, and I can, and it's also so much easier when I'm with people as well. So what we can do for one another, and a different perspective that we might be able to bring and sense into, which actually this whole week, last week in Scotland, was all about, which is, well, you're bringing something to me, and I'm sensing into a different thing than you are, and therefore the conversation widens out and there might be more information available than there was before, because I'm seeing something maybe that you're blind to. And so there's a way that this kind of stuckness in some way requires us to be in community about it. And of course that's really tricky when you think that the thing that you're stuck about is really shameful and you can't tell anyone. And so creating this kind of safety between humans, where we can disclose and be together and say what's true, no matter what it is. I keep returning to that being the gateway into all of this as well. You know, the gateway into being in conversation about our stuckness. And then turning towards it, another piece of life to turn towards, and asking it these questions, and maybe asking someone else to ask it these questions for you as well. Like, what would that be like to open this up to someone else and say, look, I'm really stuck with this one thing or in this part of myself. Could you ask me these questions? And maybe something different gets, slightly different, even tiny bit different, gets born than the normal spiral of sameness that seems to, these patterns that we have, they seem to be quite dogged.
Yeah. There's so much in what you're saying. And the two things that I wanted to pick up on. One was when you talked about it as repetitive self-talk, the kind of inner dialogue that we get into that keeps going. And here's something I appreciated about the way you've been coming at this in what you're writing and what you're saying, Lizzie, is that it's really easy for us to think that the problem is the way I'm talking to myself. Like, if I change, and it's partially true, it seems, but it's not the whole truth, that if I get onto the pattern of conversation that's going on with me and I change the inner conversation, everything will change. And I'm with that partially, but not all the way, partly because two things. One is, it's so easy to get punishing about the way that we talk to ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, I must be wrong about this way that I'm talking to myself. Now I have to correct myself. So now I've got another part of me that I have to correct, get in line, you know, sort out, which I think so often keeps this going. But the other part of it, which is really why I'm saying this, which I could feel you talking about is that this is really, in a deeper way, a question about the kind of relationship we're in, of which the conversation and inner conversation is just one, is one aspect. So if I'm in a relationship with a hurt, frightened, anything, longing part of me that has something new to bring into the situation, it's not just the kind of conversation I'm in, it's the whole constellation is the best word I have for it. It's the whole kind of dynamic of where I'm standing in relation to all kinds of parts of me. Mm-hmm. And that's why I so appreciated what you said, that sometimes what it takes is getting onto this and having a change in orientation, which is loving a part of ourselves and welcoming it in as a member of the family, as a brother or sister, as a child, a lost child, all of those kind of things. But another part of it is when we come into the orbit of other people who will care for us and be truthful with us and ask us great questions and not rush to fix us in the way that we've been rushing to fix ourselves.
Yeah.
But equally are committed to taking a stand with us that there's goodness that we can't see, and that there are possibilities for relationship that we haven't found, and are willing to stand in that possibility, and that the questions that we ask one another and the things that we say come from that hopeful, dignified, loving, courageous, truthful orientation. That's sometimes what it takes for us to step into a different place in these naughty inner dynamics that, like you say, keep on going and going and going and going and going, partly because they're habitual and partly because we can't see them and partly because we think it's what we ought to be doing. And like, I know when I catch it, one of the things I often find out is there's some way in which I think I ought to be being harsh to parts of myself. It's just kind of self-evident. And actually, you've been one of the people in my life who so often have sat me down and pointed into a different way that I might be. Mm. Anyway, I don't know if any of this is making sense to you, but that these are what it seems to me are the implications of what you were saying before.
Yeah, and I'm really curious as you're speaking as well about the kind of stuckness we are or can be at times. I have this feeling that those kinds of stuck, whatever they are in our lives, are also kind of calling to us. There's something calling to us in them. You know, when I look back and I wonder about the times that I felt the most kind of repetitive pain. And of course, there's like echoes of it now. I can connect it to how I'm supposed to be being in the world. So I feel like there's feels a little bit elusive when I'm talking about it, but there's a way that my experience of my life, my history, my story is linked to what my life is for somehow. And the interesting thing that's coming up is I've been thinking about my dad and something that my sister told me about him. And it's around people dying. And he's really had a trouble in his life about people dying and felt really a lot of things about different people very close to him dying. And, you know, he's in his late 60s. And it came out that all of that pain and suffering that happened around people dying, he's felt for many years really like he has a mission to bring people away of dealing with it when people die. And I'm not talking about counseling or whatever. He just says that the practicalities of when someone close to you dies and you have to deal with what remains behind, legally, financially, all of that stuff. He says, I really want to help people in that, because I've had such great suffering in that very thing, which is like, what do you, you know, who do you call? What do you do? How do you deal with the body? What are the financial implications? What does it mean to get probate? You know, all of this stuff. And so all of that really deep suffering has kind of been this thing born in him, where the darkest, stuckiest, horriblest moments in his life have kind of gone to galvanize themselves into him saying, I really want to do something about this. So it's a big reflection for me right now about this like being stuck in something, not knowing what to do, finding some at least way to wake up the next morning and get on with something, born in that is information about what might be meaningful to us. And it's not to be just thrown out or, oh, I've got to get through this and then put it to the side, but to kind of harvest whatever is in there, whatever is about that, that might be really precious direction even. So that's what kind of arose to me as you were talking of like, you know, finding a way of being with it that, as you say, is not throwing it out, is not. Yeah, and I think even so Justin, now what's happening in our constellation, in our work, and there's lots of movement happening, and the stuckness even I can get in that, which is, you know, us doing Turning Towards Life, us finding a way of having a voice in the world that's different, and because of and in partly probably influencing the way things are shifting in the way that we want to be in the world, the work we want to do. It feels like there's a, yeah, there just feels a giftedness. And I'm aware that I'm not even sure I'm making sense when I'm saying it. Mm. I feel like I'm the edge of something. Mm. But there's something, some gift in the stuckness that feels mysterious and important, and I want to keep turning towards it.
I think that's really important what you just said, which is that there's a kind of mystery in this.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about your dad, I can hear that. And you're talking about yourself and you're talking about us and our work. But when we, maybe one way of thinking about the mystery is when we get caught in the repetitive dynamic with stuckness, that I have to solve it, that the right thing to do will be to beat it in some way. And sometimes it is, you know, I don't want to be too dogmatic about it. You know, sometimes there's a leak coming through the ceiling and all I have to do is fix it.
Yes.
You know, but I think there's also some discernment called for in all of us, which is that not everything's like that.
Mm.
So that when I feel my own frustration and my fear and my shame and the tightness that comes with it, it's not always that there's something that has to be fixed. And in fact, you know, a different way of saying it, which is equally probably impenetrable in one way, but it's to say that the stuckness might be there to fix me.
Yes.
And which is hard, so hard, you know, it's easy to say and it's so hard to really figure out what does that mean. But I think partly what it means is exactly what you write so clearly in this piece that you wrote, which is that it takes us turning towards that which is stuck and being really welcoming and curious to it and going,
yeah,
what are you here for? What is it that you need? What relationship could I be in with you? What are you showing me?
Mm.
And that sometimes, like in the example with your dad, sometimes what's calling for is a turning of orientation. So we turn towards the stuckness. We find that there's a different way for us to turn in life. That's not fixing the stuckness in a way as kind of being shaped by it, and we find that we weren't stuck in the way that we imagined. And the two images that really strongly come to mind for me right now, and these images often come up in our conversation here and elsewhere, one is being born.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say I remember being born, but boy, it must feel like being stuck. for a long time, because that's true.
Yeah.
But it turns out that the world that you get born into is a completely different one to the one, if it were even possible to imagine one's world from before being born to after being born. And the other one that strikes me is, and this is putting into something that probably doesn't experience the world this way, I know, but as a metaphor, which is a seed about to crack open. And when a seed cracks open, it becomes a totally different thing to the thing it's been being up until that point.
Yes.
So the resolution to the stuckness is not some, oh, let me figure out how to not feel uncomfortable and feel this cracking and feel the resolution to that kind of stuckness is exactly the, what something is wanting to be born here. What is it that's wanting to be born? And the more that I hold onto it and to try to have things the way I'm familiar with,
yeah,
oh, it's this kind of response. The more what I'm doing is holding myself in the very constraining relationship and pattern that I'm fighting against. And that, I think, maybe is what feeling stuck in a way often is it's this twin tension between something that's longing and it's waiting and hoping and wishing, and there's some way in which the consequences of that are too difficult, too shameful, too frightening, too confusing, too whatever, and I'm constraining. And of course, when we're in that dynamic of two opposing forces, what we feel is stuck, and we walk around with this feeling stuck, feeling stuck, feeling stuck. And we have to sort of allow the possibility. And I know I've managed to do this a few times in my life, and often not, because it requires a great imaginative leap, or as you say, people around us who are willing to be imaginative and open, to go, maybe when this thing gets out, so many things will be different. And I'm doing my best. That's why I'm stuck, because I'm trying to prevent all of that from happening here.
Yeah. Yeah. And also what I'm seeing is also that there's often part of us that is attached to the stuckness, because that's most familiar to me. And so I know there's sometimes where I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm free of something. And then I think, what do I do with myself? Now, I don't know how to be here now. You know, that thing didn't happen again because I didn't go down the same road. And now I'm like, you know, what do I do here? So, you know, for example, just one of the really staple things in my life is speed and fullness. You know, having a life that's kind of fast-paced and filled with things happening, people to see. And then I go, oh my gosh, this is too much for me. I really, and all kinds of ways that I just keep filling my diary up or putting things too close to one another or whatever. And then I have the space that I've asked for after being stuck in a kind of pattern of busyness for a while. And then I feel really terrified. I don't know what to do with myself. Like I've created the thing I need, and then I'm shocked at it and kind of feel like I'm been cut loose, like Sandra Bullock in that Gravity movie where she gets kind of off that, you know. And I think, oh, I don't have the means to deal with the space that I've just made for myself. And then that's another question of like, oh, so clearly in some way wanted to stay stuck in that place of busyness because it would protect me from this thing.
That's right.
That I'm now terrified of. And I had lots of great strategies so that I didn't have to deal with it. So then how do I be? And it might be, you know, I might have that around like drama, for example. It's like I have drama-free time for a while and I think, oh, I quite like a bit of drama. And I've been complaining about the drama. So it's such an interesting thing to see all the ways that we also have underlying motives to keep the stuckness going, because it's more comfortable, it's more familiar, even no matter how painful and frustrating and annoying it might be. There's also part of us that actually keeps it going that way because the alternative is kind of searing, excruciating unfamiliarity where we actually do not know how to do that yet.
That's right. Which is why it's this point that you made really clearly earlier about having people around us who can support us and welcome a different way that we can be, who will love us enough and be open enough with us. Mm. Also, we were talking last week about experimentation,
mm.
about being, and sometimes we need other people around us to help us with experimentation, experimenting. I think I might have said this last week. I'm really struck by something you said so about myself, which is getting onto how committed quietly inside to grief and suffering I am. And then brackets, and then not showing anybody else about it. That's part of the deal. Looking fine, suffering inside. And very often when great joy comes my way, I'll feel it for a while, and then I'll go, oh, this is unfamiliar. Apparently not the way I'm meant to be. Let me invent or refine, is probably a better way, a place I can stand where I can feel. So for me, it's how this will all end.
Yeah.
I'm already feeling in the midst of great joy and love, the ending of it. And now I can be in the familiar suffering of it. And it's both extraordinarily painful and really, oh, this is how I'm meant to be. And it would be shameful to be in any other way.
Mm.
So it's been such a gift to me to be around in this work that we do. For example, people who will remind me, one of the things you do for me, Lizzie, and of reasons to be joyful about my life and joyful about myself, genuine ones, not pep talk ones, yeah. Just the simple act of being with me in a way that will remind me that I can stand somewhere else, not like because you're applying some kind of technique, oh, here's the thing to say, not like affirmations, like my life is great every day in every way, or any of these kind of things any of us can do, but just the simple act of standing in a different relationship can help us to feel the something that's outside the stuckness that we're in. And it takes time and commitment and love and being around people for this to happen. It's really much more like a seed growing if we're willing to let it, if we're willing to let any cracks show in our familiarity, rather than I meet you and you're a fantastic coach, and in the first 5 minutes you say to me something and my whole life changes because you're so brilliant. It just seems to me that that's not typically the way that anything happens with us.
No. I'm just realizing, Justin, that there's a way that it's so hard to see ourselves. And it's such an act of trust just to even imagine that we might be a gift to each other. Like, that I might be that kind of gift to you. Feels like there's a kind of discipline-filled imagining required. Because so much of me discounts and just goes, oh no, no, you know, that I could be, but part of me is like, that I could be anything to anyone is kind of eludes me, So a kind of commitment is required to allowing the possibility that we might be just by being ourselves, not by doing anything special, but literally just by being our whatever we are, whatever mess we are, whoever we are, to entertain the notion that, and allow ourselves to believe that we might be just making a difference by being ourselves with other people. Because it's how I experience other people in my life, but I seem to exclude myself from being part of that somehow. And so for all of us to realize and to live in a way that we're making a difference to the people around us by being in contact with them, just from what you said and what it brought up in me, to think that, oh my goodness, I could be a person that has Justin see something freshly because of just by being myself without asking him any questions or being deep or being anything. There's a way that I, and I know that you're saying that genuinely because that's also how you are for me. And then I start thinking of other people and I think, my goodness, yeah, they don't have to do anything. They could just come and have a cup of tea with me and it would just make my life different in that time. And more.
I have a, and just notice the time, how easy it is for us to go on and on because there's so much in this conversation, but you've sparked something in me that I want to say is my final thing to say, which is it's striking me that you've talked about discipline a couple of times this morning, that the discipline is not the discipline of self-improvement or self-improvement is always there's something wrong and I have to fix it and get better and better every day. And it's not the discipline of self-punishment and self-shaming. It's simply the discipline of welcome. And that when we learn how to extend the discipline of welcome towards ourselves and the parts of ourselves, and to extend the discipline of welcome to others, which also means welcoming ourselves, that's what you're talking about.
Yep.
And in one way, it's a really ordinary human thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in another way, it takes us a ton of practice.
Yeah.
And diligence and care to be able to do this. But when we do it, it's not then about technique of helping one another. It's we human beings are exquisitely made to help one another.
Mm.
But in the absence of us being welcoming welcomers, knowing ourselves as welcome, it's so hard. And I think that that's really the topic we're exploring here in one way or another, week by week.
Yeah.
I'm really grateful to see it that way this morning. This is new for me to see it in exactly this particular way.
Yeah, I'm feeling like when you speak of the discipline, I feel like for me, it's like, you know, for example, you say something kind about me or compliment me or something. And I have to like kind of hold on to the table and like literally like eke my way towards receiving it. Yes, that's what I mean by discipline. It's exactly what you said. It's like doing the thing that my personality that wants to keep me small and keep me insignificant. And it's like, how do I like grip the table? My hands are gripping onto the table here. And then eke my way towards receiving what life has for me that I want or that I feel is being given instead of doing the stuck road. You know, I love the way you describe discipline. That's exactly how I see it. It's like, I mean, I'm like the most undisciplined person I've ever met, probably in regards to doing, you know, the things I should be doing, like tidying up and things like that. I don't, you know, I have zero discipline, but I do have discipline around turning towards the parts of me that bring mine and maybe others freedom.
So I think we should end.
Yes.
We're relatively good at keeping somewhere near our promise that we'll speak for half an hour. This is such a delight to do. I'm feeling incredibly excited about what might come next. And grateful to all of you, if you're still here, who are watching right to the very end. And I want to end with two requests for all of you who are with us. So there are our little community grew past 500 this week, which was a not that numbers are important in one way, but it was joyful to see. Please tell people about this. Point them our way so that others can be part of this with us. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Bye.